It was pretty funny.
Hey, guys. Glad you could show up today. Glad I could show up today. Hope you guys are having an awesome day. Hope you guys had a good, safe, healthy weekend. Making a shake over here last second. And also, to be sure, we were just talking about earlier before the show, be sure to check out the Joint Rebuilding Formula. This is one of the most popular products that we've ever had as far as for joint health. And it does fantastic when stacked with the collagen peptides. You can see the ingredient list on here. The stack of ingredients. Yes, our old school ingredient list, but we cleaned it up, made it stronger, made it better. And it has the greenlit muscle extract in it, which is really good for soft tissue repair and a whole host of other products, including turmeric, hyaluronic acid, glucosamine, MSM, everything. So be sure, if you're wanting to work on your joints, you're trying to get stronger, healthier, recover better, and feel better, and not have everything feel like you're the 10 man that missed his WD-40 session the other day.
What is a 10 man?
The 10 man.
10.
10, T-I-N.
Oh, 10.
10. 10 man. Wizard of Oz.
I heard you.
Yeah, put some oil on him. This is that natural lubricant on the joints that makes them feel way better. So be sure to check it out on sale right now for Product of the Week, over 10% off. And I've got some pretty good health articles I'm going to cover here. There was one that I was pulling up, and I wanted to cover it. Oh, yes, Costco. A lot of people like Costco. Seafood products, an enormous of them, have been recalled nationwide.
Costco,
Kroger, and Costco. Yes.
Yeah, Costco's got some good stuff. Man, they are sure. That's a liberal company. That's one of those DEI companies.
It is. That's why I'm not a huge fan of them. But
I basically walked out one time because they refused to serve me because I didn't have a mask on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was a major blowout.
Now, the good thing about it is most of the products that are being recalled on here are almost all shrimp products. So that probably shouldn't affect you guys.
Bubble gum.
Yeah, it says the CS-137 contamination. It's man-made radioisotope of cesium.
Like, where the heck did that come from?
I don't know.
That's
the only thing. And the reason why I was
it could have been out of the Pacific.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah.
Not Chernobyl. I
don't remember what the name of it is.
Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That reactor.
The meltdown.
Yeah.
That reactor from years back. We talked about it in detail.
Wow.
But yeah, they're saying that they're showing significant contamination with cesium-137 radioisotope.
I think it's cesium.
Cesium? Mm-hmm. Yes. The only thing I thought about this is, what was the name of that? I forgot. We talked about that for a while ago. Don't yawn on me.
Oh, God.
Come on. Wake up. It's Monday.
Yeah. Japan meltdown. I mean, listen, Japan nuclear
meltdown.
Yeah, but
we talked about that whole meltdown over there. And interestingly,
it's been a long time ago.
It's been a while. But that's the only way that I can imagine this stuff is...
Fukushima.
Fukushima, yes. This Godzilla's going to come out of the ocean after that thing.
Didn't get any sleep this weekend or something happened.
It's a long weekend.
Long weekend. Fukushima nuclear accident. No, I wasn't out partying. And no, I don't drink.
And also, in other news, I wanted to give you guys updates on the pending change to the vaccines that they've been debating on the Vaccine Advisory Committee. Now, listen to this. I told you guys last week I was really excited because they were going to pull Hep B vaccination off. They said they have now postponed the vote on the hepatitis B vaccine.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. For newborns?
Mm-hmm.
What a bunch of idiots.
Yeah. All the data's come out that the shot absolutely has no useful purpose in newborns, that it does not protect them whatsoever. And why in the world are you giving a hepatitis B shot to a child if the mom's not Hep B positive?
Because it has mercury in it, bud.
Yeah,
we got to shut that brain down.
Yep. And so, again, now they're saying that they're going to that they're going to basically postpone it, plan to delay the Hep B vaccine tabled. Pfizer scheduled a vote to push back the first dose of the Hep B shot within the first 24 hours to at least 1 month after birth.
You know what's so stupid about this is that, you know, they must have a whole bunch of vials they couldn't get rid of.
Oh, I can guarantee you what happened.
So, they got millions of vials in storage.
Oh, yeah, I guarantee
somebody's made a bunch of money on this and they don't want to return them.
It's somebody's
going on.
Somebody from whether it's Pfizer or AstraZeneca, whoever's the manufacturer of these, I can guarantee you somebody got a phone call over the weekend and said, hey,
we got 3 million doses.
We got that $1 billion contract for Hep B shots. There's no refund policy in these, buddy. This is a contract. We got to get rid of these shots. What do you want to do with them? You guys already paid for them. And we have more in the future because we have another 12-month contract you guys signed. So you guys need to figure out what to do. And this shot isn't going to pull off the market. I'm just going to let you know that. So figure out what to do. Okay, we'll just postpone the vote now. I mean, golly.
Kick the can down the road.
It's exactly what they did on here. It's also, too, they've gone in now and they're saying that the measles shot, the MMR shot, where is that here, says for years the CDC has recommended the two combination shot with the measles, mumps, rubella. The agency has stated that for the first dose, the preference was for the MMR vaccine along with separate shots against varicella, a whole host of shots. The members voted 8-3 to advise the CDC to only recommend the MMR shot for children younger than 4 years old. The first dose of the measles vaccine is typically administered around 1 year. That's a lie. Actually, 6 months is where they started with a lot of pediatricians. If you look it up on the actual shot schedule, the second dose is recommended for children 4-6. So they said they're looking at basically removing it from the 6 month in the year month and moving it forward, which again, I mean, anything before 1 year doesn't even make sense. A year and a half, even if you got a clean vaccine, it doesn't make sense. So,
you know, it's so funny. It's
more theater.
Levy, who is also a professor of operations manager of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, voted to advise a change. I mean, you know, it's just unbelievable here. You got to ask yourself a question. Follow the money.
And yeah, Dr. Cody Meisner, I'm sorry, it's not Meiserstein, that says another member and professor was one of the no votes as well to push it forward.
Meisner-Berg.
Yeah, ridiculous. This, I mean, so again, I thought we'd actually get a little bit out of this because Robert F. Kennedy kind of, you know, shook the tree.
Boy, he's come against a rock, boy.
But he hit the vaccines, man. It hit the wall.
I told you, Austin, I used to talk at these big seminars, and I was told you don't bring up vaccines. You don't bring
it's
up autism.
Profitable, man.
You don't do it. You don't bring them up at
it's
all. You
profitable.
Never talk about them. And I've had so many talk shows that I was on, you know, I did thousands of interviews, and they would tell me in advance, don't bring up vaccines. Don't bring up autism, period. I could bring up ADD. I could bring that up. But I could not bring up vaccines. I mean, ever. And then I was told I couldn't bring up diet sodas anymore because of the lobbying efforts of these groups. And then I was banned on a bunch of stations because I talked about diet sodas.
Find out who you can't criticize. You'll find real quick who controls everything. And now I saw this article earlier kicking over some stuff with Charlie Kirk. First off, they came out with this article now and they're saying the alleged gun, the Mauser 98, was vintage and hard to trace.
This is hard to believe.
So we need to start looking at doing new tracing and tracking for even older firearms. I kid you not now. They're saying that this rifle that he had, the German-made rifle built for the military in both World Wars, bolt action, 30-06, is originally 8mm. It's converted to 30-06 in most cases because it's easier cartridge to find. They said the rifle was originally bought in the U.S. before laws were enacted in 1960 requiring guns to have serial numbers on them. They said, because the alleged use of such a vintage weapon has now raised fears among federal agents of the potential for their would-be assassins to seek out these powerful, accurate, hard-to-trace firearms now.
Unbelievable. Fear. Are they having fear? They're giving doggone 50 calibers to ATF down to the doggone Mexican drug cartels. That's the fear round is a doggone 50 caliber
Barrett. Box
magnet. Unbelievable, man.
And so and then when you think the lunacy... The lunacy can't get any crazier. They come out with an article here now.
Oh, yeah,
Charlie Kirk,
believe this.
Stopping a bullet saved lives.
Whoa, what?
She stopped a bullet.
No. They couldn't get ballistics because nobody could find the stinking round,
no.
Right? And because remember, a 30-06 is a high-powered rifle.
Shot many a 30-06s.
Kick like a mule.
I have hunted hogs with 308s. I can tell you right now, a 308 will go clean out of a hog every single time. You put a HydroShock round in a hog, it'll blow out the size of a cantaloupe on the exit wound. They're now saying here, the high-velocity bullet, I kid you not, this is the quote, that was miraculously stopped. It did not exit the conservative activist and harm others in the crowd. They said he was fatally shot with a sniper rifle, 30-06 round from 200 yards away.
So the soft tissue of the neck stopped.
They're saying, no, the hard bones of the neck. What hard bones is that?
Are they talking of the spine here?
The spine will not stop a 30-06 under any circumstances whatsoever. That round has been designed to take down some of the largest living beings on the planet, including grizzly bears, moose, elk, everything. That's a wild round. That's when I first thought it was a 308. Somebody says it was a 5.56. I was like, it must have been a Full Metal Jacket. So I thought it just went clean in and out. Then somebody says it's a 30-06. I said, 30-06? 30-06, if he's running a Hornady or HydroShock, I mean, not trying to be graphic, but it would have taken his neck off. I mean, the exit wound would have been as big as his neck. Now they're saying the .30-06 was stopped by his neck bones, and it was a life-saving event. This is the quote.
Well, the reason they're saying this, Austin, is because they have to fabricate the bullet.
Well,
now
they've got the bullet already set up.
Yeah, that's right.
So they now have it in perfect condition because the bone stopped it.
Do you remember that movie, The Shooter, with Mark Wahlberg?
Oh yeah.
Remember? And they said they ID'd the bullet, and it was that same bullet he had shot at that can of stew. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they found that bullet. And they found that. Then and they said, "We've got the bullet." Blah blah blah. It wasn't even from his gun.
No. When he's from his gun.
No.
They said the bullet should have gone through and through. It would have killed others standing behind him. There's nobody standing behind him. They said that the coroner found the bullet, and I quote, just beneath the skin, said Colvett. Now, I know there's lies.
Oh, we got to put it up.
And then there's lies.
Put the quote up.
And then there's these kind of lies. This is so bizarre to me. To anybody that even understands anything about rifles, bullets, or ballistics understands you can't make a lie any bigger
just
than this.
Under the skin.
Just under the skin.
I mean, that means his skin stopped it, right?
Or his neck muscle stopped it. They said it was for the density of his neck muscles. I'm not going to – Charlie Kirk was a great guy, but I'm not going to pick on him. Nobody was going to, you know, misidentify him as a bodybuilder.
Go ahead and put the quote up. We got to put the quote up.
Oh, we know they're lying.
They know they're lying.
They know that we know they're lying.
We know that they know that we know they're lying.
And still they continue to lie. I want you to just read that for a second and let that sink in. 30-06 was stopped just below the skin. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't even know what to say anymore, and I'm not trying to be.
That might have been true at 1,500 or 2,000 yards when the bullet has lost all velocity.
Yeah, the ballistics of that. I mean, the foot-pounds. And here's the thing. If that was the truth, okay, that means that his neck took the full kinetic energy of the .30-06.
At 200 yards.
At 200 yards, meaning his it would have been graphic.
Well,
more graphic.
Let me look it up. Kinetic energy of 230
foot-pounds of energy. I haven't been on my ballistic tables on .06 in a while, but I can tell you right now, it would have been like get hit in the face with a doggone, you know, VW bug if it stopped on him. So I don't know how they come up with this stuff. I guess
the American people don't understand.
I guess the American population just believes whatever they're told and just goes along with it. But now that they're coming out and saying that these vintage guns are fear of the federal... Dude, nobody's scared of a bolt-action rifle in the FBI. I mean, when they go around with full-auto M4s everywhere on raids, they're not too concerned about a Mauser 98. Let's just be real on that. And so there's another article here I was pushing up into. Let me get into this. And where he finds the ballistics on that, I got a health article I'm going to dig into. And it goes into beta blockers, actually. This is a big article I'm looking up here on beta blockers. And it says, America's beta blocker habit. Millions are on a drug they may not need. We've discussed this in detail now, what happens with these things as far as with beta blockers. And you find the ballistics on it?
Oh, my gosh. Listen to this.
The kinetic energy on off-6 is huge.
Listen. This is found right under the skin.
Yeah.
Okay? At 200 yards, the .30-06 is traveling at 2,310 feet per second. With 1,955 foot-pounds of force.
Foot-pounds energy. Yeah. It's like a VW bug, almost 2,000 pounds.
You know, you got 1,915 foot-pounds of torque, of energy, force. Of kinetic energy, hitting soft deck, and it stops right under the skin.
At 2,300 feet per second.
At 200 yards, it has a 4-inch drop. That's it. At 500 yards, it still has 1,172 foot-pounds of force. That's why I said, unless it was a full metal jacket, it would have just blown his head off. It's a Volkswagen hitting your neck.
That's why I figured it was FMJ. But now that they're saying it was FMJ, that completely takes that off. Or now that they're saying that it stopped, that completely takes – there's no way an FMJ stopped.
Well, Austin, why – is it because the American – I guess a lot of people don't own guns.
Yeah.
Okay, and so they're going to believe whatever they hear on this. I'm going to post this whole – this is from Springfield Armory, 30-06 ballistics charts. You know, at zero range, it's coming out at 2,700 feet per second, at 2,670 foot-pounds of torque, 2,310 feet per second. That means it is so stinking fast. That means that thing should have cracked. I mean, you know, they should have heard that thing everywhere.
You could hear it in the video. You could hear it was a rifle round. It had that crack to it. But like I said, this round
1,955 foot pounds of energy.
This round killed everything it was pointed at in World War I and World War II.
Oh yeah.
I mean, when they came out with the Browning, the BAR, automatic box-fed 30-06 automatic machine gun.
A wicked weapon.
Gosh, that was a chopper of a handheld weapon. I mean, it was, that was the infantry weapon they gave them. That was a crazy gun. Actually, I was at the gun store last week over there looking at some stuff they had come in, and they had a semi-automatic bar. It wasn't transferable. It was just semi-automatic. And I'm looking at it, and it had been converted to 308. And it's still, I was like, golly. In the middle of a trench with this thing, 25-round box magazine, fully automatic, 30-06. I mean, it just chopped every living thing. But, hey, you know,
his neck
muscle stopped the 30-06.
It was 2,000 foot-pounds of force. Unbelievable.
I don't even know what to say about this as far as how much they're lying on it. So, anyways.
What it reminds me of is the Kennedy assassination back in the 60s.
The magic bullet.
When the magic bullet went the wrong direction, and they didn't want to admit there were multiple shooters. Because that was against the narrative that Oswald was the lone assassin.
Correct. What it shows is whatever they did with the coroner, and this is just my opinion, whatever they did with the coroner, whatever round actually hit him from whatever other area or direction it hit him, it was not from this guy. It was not from a Mauser 98, and it was not from a 30-06.
Mm.
Think about it. There's no way, unless you have somebody else with a different gun shooting. There's no way they found a 30-06 round in his neck. It's physically impossible.
Several of the websites have posted alternative theories as to what type of weapon was used. And now with this type of crap coming out, you have to ask yourself a question. Maybe there really was a different weapon being used. Maybe it was a lot closer weapon. Maybe it was a handheld pistol with a sight on it. Maybe it was something else.
Well, I never believed the Mauser theory from the beginning. You know, he disassembles it. Goes and gets in position, reassembles it, gets in position, fires it, disassembles it, puts it in his pants.
Okay, first of all, if you're going to disassemble and reassemble a rifle with a doggone sights on it, you know, with a telegraphic, what is it, telescopic sight on it, you know, you've got to make sure it's perfect.
It's sighted in. And, you know, they make some of the LMR rifles that you can completely collapse down.
But that wasn't this.
That was not that. That was an early, almost 100-year-old weapon as far as the design from it. They weren't meant to break down and put back together and break down and put back together.
This is the same kind of weapon they said that shot Kennedy.
Right, ironically.
Yeah.
And then you think that's just a coincidence there?
You know what I think they do, Austin? I think they just make stuff up to make everybody look foolish.
They do. That's a fact.
We're going to lie about this some more. Watch all these humans believe this.
It's 6 feet apart in the store. If you're 7 feet, you won't catch COVID. You stay 6 feet apart.
Your shot, my shot won't work because you haven't had your shot.
Well, the problem is with the guys that drop Building 7 and the ones that run the
banks, you go.
The ones that like their free air, they do it, in my opinion, as a degrading standard. They do it to degrade the population, to tell them lies, just to insult everybody, just so they know. You know that we're lying. You know that we know we're lying. But we're going to lie to you just because we think it's funny.
Oh, speaking of liars, and not to miss out on my Butch Dyke lesbian segment for the day.
Gosh, yeah.
I had so many comments on that last week. Yeah. I did the Butch Dyke lesbian imitation on Friday. Rosie O'Donnell, everybody's favorite Butch Dyke lesbian, joins the Dump Disney campaign.
Really?
Whoa.
I didn't ever think I'd agree with her on something.
Well, because she's mad about, you know, them dumping that late night comedian guy. Left wing comedian and former The View co-host Rosie O'Donnell, which everybody loves to hate, is urging her 1.1 million Instagram followers to boycott Disney after the company suspended Jimmy Kimmel. Indefinitely following remarks Kimmel made on the ABC broadcast, spreading disinformation about Charlie Kirk's killer, calling him part of the MAGA gang. Boy, they keep twisting this. You pull a video up?
I'm going to pull a video.
Oh, we're going to pull a video up.
I don't know if this is legit.
This is probably Photoshop.
But it's funny.
But it's funny. And they're saying the real reason that Kimmel got banned, this is funny, but the real reason is he's brought up the Jeffrey Epstein thing. But now this was you got it, Austin?
I'm sending it right now.
Well, I'm going to go to another story real quick.
Yeah, come to the story.
Governor Newsom's got the best hair ever. Which I can't stand the guy, but he's got good hair.
He does have good hair.
Yeah, he signs a mask ban aimed at ICE. I mean, wait a minute. He wants mandated masks. Now he's banning them.
No, I heard that. I love this.
California Governor Newsom signed a ban Saturday that prohibits all law enforcement, not regular civilians, officers, except for the California Highway Patrol, which protects former Vice President Kamala Harris from wearing masks. Why would the Highway Patrol have to wear a mask? The measure is aimed at U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. As Breitbart News reported last week, the bill, SB 627, was proposed by radical state senator Scott Wiener. No comment. He likes his free air. The same politician responsible for such, I had to make a comment, I couldn't stop it. The same politician responsible for such extreme legislation as the sanctuary state for transgender surgeries for minors. Oh, my gosh. The true aim of the law, ostensibly aimed at protecting the public from secret police, is to make it easier for left-wing groups to retaliate against and intimidate ICE officials by being able to identify them. And they're saying he has no jurisdiction whatsoever to do this. But he did it. So we'll see what happens. Okay, you got the video?
I got the video. Now, this, for what somebody told me, somebody sent me this and said that it was legitimate. I know the beginning.
We can't verify, but it's funny.
I can't verify the board game. I do know the beginning of the segment when he brings this up. That was legitimate as far as the guy he's talking to. Again, this is maybe a parody.
Rich, give us camera four.
Tell me what you know.
Four.
Okay, the Israel fighting.
No, don't even tell.
A little bit, but it's terrible.
Tell me what you know.
Okay, the Israel fighting.
No, don't even tell me you know, because you can't even speak about it. Right? If you've been on social media this week or even opened a newspaper over the past 35 years, you know that this is a very touchy subject, and it has been made even more so by Twitter and Instagram. There's no right position to take on this. Even those who say they pray for peace, subject to criticism. Friendships have been ended. Public figures have been torn to pieces. People are scared to speak up, and not just on social media. They're scared in the privacy of their homes, too.
It's late into game night. You've played everything. It's time for a game that'll challenge you mentally and emotionally.
We do have one other game. Oh, what is it?
Let's talk about Israel.
No, that's not.
Navigate your way through the Holy Land, stopping to pick up neutral talking points along the way. But if those talking points offend anybody...
Obviously, this is all very complicated. But it just seems like the Israeli response is... disproportionate?
Just like the real conflict, this game may never end. What the hell do you want from me? Let's talk about Israel. Not fun for the whole family.
Oh, gosh.
I had to put
some Monday
humor. And I'm sure it's a spoof, but it was funny.
I think it's a spoof the game. I had to have a Monday soft, you know, something funny, break it all up. But anyways, let me get back to this beta block of comment here. This is a big topic because we talked about this before. You've mentioned beta blockers on the show repeatedly. We've talked about people that we know that have gone on and that have had health problems. And they're saying now new research questions the routine prescription of beta blockers after heart attacks and high blood pressure. And they're saying now that allegedly so many people are starting to have significant health problems that they originally ignored due to the beta blockers or said they weren't caused by them. But they're now starting to look at them. They're saying they save lives by blocking adrenaline. They slow the heart rate and reduces oxygen demand, which can be beneficial if something's going on with like post right after post heart attack. However, using these, they said a routine cardiac care is quite morphed into something else entirely. Beta blockers have become a catch-all pill for anxiety, stage fright, jitters, and even headaches. Propranolol, which is the first likely widely used beta blocker, popular among musicians, actors, athletes, and students, helping to steady their hands or calm racing pulse. It blunts the body's adrenaline surge, though it does little for anxious thoughts behind it. And they went into detail here. They said they're also tested it for trauma. Hopefully it might blunt painful memories. They said children are an increasingly part of the widening circle of beta blocker users.
Unbelievable.
FDA's review of nearly 90 million pediatric records found that adolescents, most prescription for the drugs weren't for the heart at all. About 1 in 5 were for anxiety and another 1/5 for migraines. The evidence weakens now when they started looking at trials of them. They found no benefit at keeping heart attacker survivors with normal heart function on long-term beta blockers at all. For high blood pressure, studies show that beta blockers prevent fewer strokes in some treatments, even with arterial fibrillation when they remain first-line therapy. Newer research suggests that these calcium channel beta blockers could be safer, but there's no long-term safety or efficacy data for beta blockers. So the cost patients don't hear about. The side effects they rarely hear about are fatigue, dizziness, and weight gain is very common. Many patients report feeling slowed. Their energy never fully returns. By blocking adrenaline, the drugs mute the body's natural response to exercise, which comes at a cost for athletes. They can induce things like erectile dysfunction, fatigue, exercise intolerance, all the things people don't want. It also cuts deeper in people with asthma. Beta blockers likely can trigger wheezing or dangerous flare-ups. And people with diabetes, it can mask the warning signs of low blood sugar, such as sweating or tremors, leaving patients unaware that there's a severe drop in blood sugar levels. And so this stuff, I think, is finally coming to light, because these, I did not realize how common beta blockers have been prescribed now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're handling, like you said, people are having anxiety. People are having tremors. People are having headaches. They're giving them beta blockers now.
Well, my friend who was on him, he was stacking alcohol with them.
Yeah.
And that's not even talking about that. You can't stack alcohol.
No.
This is a forbidden subject.
And like I said, I'm not saying that there's not a place for these occasions, like they're saying, for sometimes maybe post-heart attack with someone.
Now, if you're taking beta blockers, do not discontinue them unless you speak to your doctor.
I'm giving you no medical advice on this, but what I am saying is these do not appear under any circumstances that they need to be used long-term, because that's what they just said here. There's no long-term safety efficacy.
No, my buddy's lips were blue. He was shaking like this.
Tremors.
He's slurring his words. I mean, it was unbelievable. But he was stacking alcohol with it.
Now, remember, most of these drugs that come out, they're designed for short-term usage. They rarely ever put these drugs on the market for long-term usage. It's the same thing like proton pump inhibitors. They're designed to be used for like a 2 to 4 week period to allow the stomach to recover from an ulcer, from esophageal erosion. They're not meant to be used long-term usage. And that's the problem. People get on them. The pharmaceutical companies make more money. The drugs, the doctors keep prescribing them over and over and over again because continual cash flow. And then all of a sudden, well, I've been on PPIs for 10 years. I need to come off now. And there's a whole host of side effects that come along with them. The same way with beta blockers. So if you're looking at trying to maintain your overall health, cut down on jitters, maybe possibly issues that you're running into with, you know, anxiety, we have a real good natural program that we have with the ashwagandha and the cortisol buster that can really help out. And also the total rest at night. Those kits are on the website, and those can help promote a more relaxed, calm state of mind. And also, too, look at what you're eating and drinking. If you're using and you're drinking 4, 5, 6 Red Bulls a day, you wonder why you got elevated heart rate, elevated blood pressure, and your tremors.
Even coffee.
Any of these drinks. And I've talked to people before that they call me up or they email and they say, hey, I have issues with blood pressure. Three things I asked them. Are you drinking enough water? What's your water intake? How much is your caffeine intake every day? And what is your nicotine usage, if any? Those are the three things I first asked for on there. And those are the, now it can be all kinds of other things, but in most cases, those first three things, one of those is usually a primary culprit.
What are they again?
Water intake. Make sure you're drinking at least half your body weight in fluid
ounces. It needs to be purified water.
Purified water.
No chlorine, no fluoride.
No fluoride. How much caffeine you're taking. So if you're having a purple stick, you're having 1-2 purple sticks a day, you know, 80 milligrams of caffeine each one from green tea, probably not going to have much of an impact. If you drinking 4 or 5 cups of espresso every morning and then 2 or 3 cups in the afternoon, then another cup before you go to the workout, it's going to affect your blood pressure. The third one is nicotine. Nicotine has a vast, vast impact on blood pressure.
Vasoconstrictant.
Much more than people understand, because when you use nicotine, whether it's vaping, whether it's dip, whether it's smoking, that nicotine is a vasoconstrictant, like he just said. It constricts the blood vessels, which makes the heart have to pump harder to push blood throughout the entire body. The issue you're running into now is back in the day when people would you smokeless or use basically a cigarette, they usually had a time frame. I'm going to go take a cigarette break. 2, 3, 4 hours. Nicotine has a half-life of about 6 hours in it, I think, if I'm not mistaken on it. So you basically use some nicotine, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours later, you smoke another cigarette. Your body has a way to regulate. I'm not recommending that, but it can regulate. Now we've got these vape pens that kids want to smoke, and I've literally been out with people before. Most of them I don't associate with anymore because I find it very – it's trashy. It really looks trashy. You're sitting there at dinner, and they're sitting there – smoking on this big pink purple flute, you know, rainbow colored flute. Oh, I love my nicotine while they suck on a purple flute. Like, that's, yeah, you look really manly, brother. Like, keep that look up. Everybody really admires you when you do that. And they're doing it every 5, 10, 15 minutes.
It's not just guys, but girls do it too.
Oh, I know. But when guys do it, I'm just looking at them like, yeah, keep sucking that pink flute. You look like a real man doing that. Get your nicotine in. Embarrassing. But on top of it, though, you're getting it every 5, 10, 15 minutes.
with high-dose synthetic nicotine.
Well, my mom used to hotbox the room. She smoked 5-pack cigarettes a day. She changed, but one after another.
Yeah.
All day long.
Yeah.
Lived to be in her 90s. Yes. Imagine how long she'd lived if you take care
German
of
German DNA. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
if she would have smoked so much, I mean, the problem is she didn't. Unfortunately, the cigarettes and alcohol didn't kill her. The nursing home killed her.
The nursing home killed her.
Pharmaceutical drugs, yeah.
Killed her, yeah.
That's the crazy part about it. She lived that long. It was like.
And they took her brain away, too. They took her memory away.
Yeah. Sad.
Oh, by the way, you know, speaking of anxiety, I'm getting anxiety right now. I'm looking at Greta Thunberg.
Oh, gosh.
You know, the thing I don't understand is who cuts her hair?
I don't know.
I mean, it's like
her hairstylist.
You know, scissors did it herself.
And I think it's supposed to be the look she goes for. It's kind of
the grunge look.
Yeah. It's kind of that look.
Well, yeah, I don't really know what's going on with her, but I do appreciate her being involved in the Israel-Gaza flotilla. But they've kicked her out of the leadership now. You're fired. Greta Thunberg has dropped from the anti-Israel-Gaza flotilla leadership.
Well, you remember when Israel accepted her. And they took her on the Israeli re-education tour. They do that to everyone that comes to Israel, by the way, if you don't understand that. They bring you in. They make you watch videos.
Including our Congress leaders.
Yeah, they make you watch videos of what Hamas did to them.
Well, they have to bring the Holocaust in.
Correct. And then, of course, they bring the Holocaust because they can't possibly get over that after 80 years ago. And they have to continue to bring it up because they're the victims all the way back to the Middle Ages. They talk about that, how they were blamed for everything in the Middle Ages, drinking children's blood and throwing rats in the wells to contaminate the water, spread the bubonic plague. They go through all that. Because they're always the victim. You got to understand, they can never be held responsible for anything because if you can maintain constant victim status, you can't be the problem. Just understand that. You know, and I saw this video the other day, and it was this Christian guy. He was a pastor. He was actually on point with it. And he said, you know, I can get on national television. I can get on radio. And I can talk crap about Putin. I can talk about Trump. I can talk about Obama. I can talk about Kim Jong-yao or whatever from North Korea. I can talk about communist China. I can talk about every single platform, every regime, every president, every dictator in the entire world at any point in time, and people applaud me and go, I'm glad you're being open. He goes, if I even say the word, everybody knows what word I'm about to say. Everybody knows what I'm about to say. You already feel it. I can see you in the camera right now. You already know what I'm about to say. Everybody gets just, you're not allowed to say that. If I say Israel or Jews, everybody goes, you can't say that, Austin. Why can't I say it, but I can criticize everybody else? Just going to throw that out there. Not that I pick on one specific people, because I'm equal offenders of everybody. I bring topics up that nobody wants to discuss for the sole purpose of making people think about them. You agree with me, you don't agree with me, it doesn't matter. Everybody's open to their own opinion. But why is it that Charlie Kirk got super vocal about what's going on in the Middle East right now, and suddenly he's not here anymore? And now they've been trying to do a hostile takeover of the Turning Point. You guys saw that the other day. They allegedly had the chairman on there. He's in his glasses and his white shirt. He's saying, well, you know, Charlie Kirk had nothing to do with Candace Owens anymore. They didn't talk for the longest time. I haven't even seen her since 2015.
Total lie.
You see that video? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's going on. I mean, completely throws Candace. He goes, Candace Owens went down the rabbit hole too far, so Charlie Kirk didn't associate with any of her.
Total lie.
So Candace Owens came out and said, here's the videos with me and Charlie. Here's the text messages with me and Charlie. This guy's a complete and total liar. And now there's footage that came out. I haven't been able to verify it yet. And they're saying right after the shooting, that same guy went up and started pulling the cameras down that were under the tent. As far as where Charlie Kirk was, they're recording it. And suddenly now they don't have any other evidence of any shots or anything was going on or who's around.
Start breaking the tent down immediately.
Pulled the SIM cards out of the cameras. And so what are they trying to hide, and why in the world is this guy getting on Turning Point now last week and saying that Candace Owens has nothing to do, or Charlie Kirk had nothing to do with Candace Owens, and he hasn't seen her in 10 years?
Well, because Turning Point is going to be probably controlled by Israel, but they're
exactly
gonna,
right.
You know,
they're going to take
so
it over.
So remember.
Now, his wife, though, is now the CEO
I hope and pray this. I pray the best for her, but I'm not going to make any comments about her right yet because I feel so bad for her.
Yeah, that's true.
But remember when 9/11 happened and that missile hit the Pentagon.
Oh, yeah.
And all the cameras in the surrounding area were seized.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all the video surveillance.
Everything.
All of it. All of the security cameras and all the buildings and all the areas seized because they can't have contradictory evidence.
That's exactly right.
And by the way, Germany.
Deutschland.
Shop owner in the city of Flensburg, Deutschland, near the Danish border, decided to put up an anti-Semitic sign in his window, banning Jews from his store. God, this is not God. This is not 1936.
I was about to say, God, should we go back to 36 that quick? I'm sorry. No,
this is on zero. This is on zero. It's not a joke. Well, kind of a joke. The 60-year-old owner of the shop, Hans Weltreich, admitted to putting up a size paper himself, which read "Jews not allowed." Below the clear ban in small letters, the owner wrote, "Nothing personal. I'm not anti-Semitic. I just can't stand Jews." Jews have house ban here, a sign displayed in Flensburg, Germany today. Shocking. This is not criticism of Israel. It's a blatant, unapologetic anti-Semitism. More than 80 years after Nazi Germany posted signs excluding Jews from public life, we are seeing the same vile hatred by this one guy. You got to make sure we slap him. He'll probably go to prison. In a statement to the Schleswig-Holstein Zeitung report, the owner denied the accusation of anti-Semitism and justified his actions with Israel's attacks on Gaza.
Okay. Yeah.
There are Jews living in Israel, and I can't tell who supports the attacks and who doesn't. He said, attempt to justify his action. He said, any of these Israel attacks in Gaza is hypocritical. They always say that history shouldn't repeat itself, but then they do it themselves, the shop owner
added. That's a fact.
Comparing Israel's actions in Gaza to the Holocaust. Posted photos of the shop wouldn't have gone viral. Felix Klein, the German federal government commissioner against anti-Semitism, has spoken out on the matter. This is pure anti-Semitism, and of course, a direct reference to the Nazi era, where Jews were boycotted and many such signs were visible. They should not be tolerated in any form, Klein emphasized. Local politicians were also quick to ask, with the Flensburg branch of the Greens condemning anti-Semitic poster most strongly, Simon Lung. You know what's so funny with this? This is the funny part about it is, if they hadn't done a report on this, nobody would even have known he did.
No, they wouldn't have. That's the point. That's what
and here it has made international news.
Of course it did.
So this one shop owner in Flensburg,
which nobody even knows where that's at.
No, I mean, I don't even know
where that's at in Germany.
He's 60 years old, and now he's made himself a name.
Yeah.
I mean, he just joined the right-wing coalition in Germany if he wants now. I mean, everybody knows who he is because he put up a little poster. I mean, the sign is like 8x8.5 by 11
Well, here's the thing. I've never been a supporter of blind discrimination. You're just screaming.
He's not doing that. He's saying that he doesn't want any Jews there because of what they're doing in Gaza.
The thing about it is he's got to understand, too, though, is there's a lot of Jews that want absolutely zero involvement in Gaza. There are some Jews in Israel. So the thing about this is, gosh, it went to 36 quick again, the sign of the door. I mean,
well, you know what's crazy? I remember years ago, I was on the Joyce Riley show. I was a co-host or a sub-host or whatever I was. She was sick before she passed away, and I did her show for several months. And I remember I interviewed, I think it was Tex Mars. Was it Tex Mars? I think it was Tex Mars. And no, it wasn't Tex Mars. It was another Tex. It was the guy who had done a bunch of stuff on the Kabbalah. And we got into that discussion. And he was absolutely convinced that anybody who follows the Zohar and follows the Talmud is really bringing bad news.
Well, that's a fact. I agree with
you
that.
You know, and so, but it was an interesting conversation.
It blasphemed Christ.
Yeah, but
I showed you guys the video of, the other day, as far as on Joe Rogan's show. What was his name again? He's so irrelevant to me on there. Basically talking about how he doesn't believe in the deity of Christ at all.
Oh, yeah, that was that little pencil neck, Ben Shapiro.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, a guy needs to hit the weights or something if he's going to talk like that about Christ.
He's got a mouth on him.
He's got a mouth on him, dude. I mean,
he took over Rush Limbaugh's spot and could run it completely into the ground.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's funny, though.
If they had put Mancow on Rush Limbaugh's spot, that thing would still have been pushed.
See, the problem is that little dweeb runs on a teleprompter. He's got like three teleprompters in his doggone set where they have. Right. When he went on Joe Rogan won't allow teleprompters. It's full off-the-cuff discussion with it. And so he really stepped in it by telling everybody what they truly believe with the Talmud on there.
Oh, by the way, you know, it's funny to me. You know, all of these 20 million people came into the country illegally. Approximately.
The Biden administration.
Biden administration, you know, through the Darien Gap. And all of a sudden, everybody's qualifying for car loans.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Still going?
Listen to what's happened here. And I was really shocked. And I remember I was talking to my friends at the dealership over in Plant City, and they told me, oh, yeah, these guys are coming in, blah, 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 we're getting them bought.
Right.
Now, they're coming in, they're getting bought without any proof of citizenship, without any proof of anything, without any credit. They're getting bought.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And you think, how is that happening? Well, they're basically being subsidized through a company called Tricolor Auto. And now it is filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy.
There you go.
Now, let's stop for a second. We're going to go ahead and just step it into this for a second.
Tricolor?
Tricolor Holdings. And it's not owned by BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard. I knew you were going
to say that. I was already going there.
I know. Well, because they knew they were going to have to bankrupt, so they're not going to get involved in it.
BlackRock, they
got a bunch of shell stuff in it. Tricolor Auto Holdings, a Dallas-based chain of used car dealerships and a major subprime auto lender, has filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy and will liquidate what's left of its assets and the operations that once spanned multiple states and served tens of thousands of customers. I had a Car Pro show caller last week ask about this, and I promised to look into it. The September 10th filing in the U.S. Bankruptcy Court in Texas listed between $1 billion and $10 billion in assets and liabilities.
Woo.
25,000 creditors had loaned money to the company. The move marks as one of the largest failures in the subprime auto lending space in years and has left employees and customers and other financial institutions scrambling. And what they were doing is they were basically giving these guys cars. Because, you know, when you bring a person in from another country, you got to give them a car, otherwise they can't get around.
What's funny, it says the company's main target was low credit and no credit Hispanic markets. Mm-hmm. It says it right here in the holdings on it. Gosh, they got some serious liability. They're filing Chapter 7. They're not restructuring. They're filing Chapter 7.
Well, and now here's the other thing, too, now. Remember this. How many other subprime lenders gave these people
That's
these houses?
Exactly
there
right.
you go. Remember 2008? And then they bundled them all together. Made them a big package. Remember, we talked about how they came into a subdivision. These are owned by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. They bundled them. They came into the subdivision. They put a $350,000 house up. They sold it for that. And then they resold it for $700,000.
Back to themselves, another subsidiary. Yep.
And through another shell corporation. Yep. And suddenly now the value of the homes went to $700,000. So now they've doubled the prices. Now you get more money. And all these people come in and borrow the money from other world, three or third world countries. Yep. And now they owe $700,000 on a house that's worth about $200,000 now. And now all of a sudden, are we going to have the same 2008 nightmare that we had with housing?
Watch the movie. It's got some language in it, but watch the movie The Big Short that goes into detail about what happened in 2008 and what they were doing. And they were bundling these things called trochets with these really, 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 really crappy loans and then putting a couple A's or B listings on top. And then they're trash. The whole thing was trash. And then all of a sudden these subprime loans are just, they hit the market.
You know, the thing that bothers me, and it really does, and if you watch that one movie, The Beekeeper.
The Beekeeper. You, the beekeeper.
Okay, this is not a movie for children, okay? It got some crazy stuff in it.
The minigun at the gas station was just a bit much for me.
Okay, but the language is pretty awful, too. But if you watch it, they have the guys that are running the telephones ripping people off that are old who don't understand what's going on. And they're getting them to give. I had that happen to a relative.
Yeah.
Their computer got jammed up because they clicked on the wrong thing. And then they contacted them. You'll have to pay us $500. We'll unfreeze your computer.
Yeah.
And, of course, they never do. This $500, then it's another $100, then it's another $100. And pretty soon you just throw the computer away.
Right.
Okay? Because they got into your system and you can't get them out. Now, what's interesting about The Beekeeper is that these guys basically were very talented sales guys, but they were complete and total scum.
Yeah.
And he comes in there and he goes, he makes them take an oath that they will never defraud the elderly again, except everything else. And he beats one of them about half to death with a telephone. They pours gasoline on their councils and says, I'm going to light this up now. The next person who calls here, this is going to spark, and the whole place is going to burn up. And he does. He burns the whole building down. The crazy part about all of it is that exists in the real world.
Yeah, it does.
We have financial planners out there that are scum of the earth. Now, we have some good ones out there, too, okay, about 10%. The rest of them are awful because they make money whether you lose money or not because they're coming. They're getting paid on commission while you're going into something and when you're coming out of something. It's just a scam is what it is in most cases. Now, there's some of the guys that are really, really good. I got to give them credit. They're really good at investing, but they're very rare. The problem that you have is you get a lot of people that are unscrupulous, and all they care about is their commission dollars.
Exactly right.
And they don't care whether you make money or you lose money. They don't care if you lose everything. The problem is that they're all doing it legally, and they're not like that scammer in that movie. And you know, they're not doing that. They're actually doing it legally. So be very, very, very careful, you know, with what you invest in. I remember just a couple months ago, I had a very wealthy man in town call me up, and he goes, I want to thank you. And I said, what? He goes, you told me to buy gold at $800 an ounce.
Yeah.
He goes, I've quadrupled my money. He says, I put, you know, millions into it.
Gosh, yeah.
And so he says, you know, I've made $10 million, $15 million, whatever you made. I'm like, wow.
Wow.
You're welcome, you know. why don't you buy me dinner?
Yeah, give me a steak.
But the crazy part about it is that, you know, you don't realize that when you start dealing in these financial markets and you start buying here, buying there, selling here, doing that, all of this stuff is organized gambling.
That's what it is.
And it's all fixed.
And they set it up so they rig the markets.
It's all rigged.
It's right. You know, then there's that one movie. I'm not going to promote it. But, you know, he's talking about the markets, and he goes, it's pixie dust. He goes, it's not the elemental charts. He goes, the stock market is. He goes, it's fugazi. It's fugazi. It doesn't exist. He goes, you get your guys that have their stocks, and they make a big win. He goes, you don't let them pull their money out and turn it into hold card cash or gold or silver. You make them reinvest it. And then he's like, and you take the commission off of it, and you actually turn it into cold hard cash, and you just keep rolling them up and rolling them up and rolling them up to it. And that's exactly what they do with a lot of investor stuff. I'm not saying there's not some great stuff you can do in the market and you can get some great returns on it, but be very, very cautious when you start having these people talk real big about it. Do the research on companies if you're going to buy stocks in them. Do the research, especially when you start looking at all these rug pulls they had with crypto over the years, and how like everybody started getting involved in. There's been so much money that was stolen through that. And what they would do is rug pull the means. In this day, the FBI has actually gotten into this now. That's why you don't see a lot of crypto stuff anymore. You get these companies, and they'd have these new cryptocurrencies coming out. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And these big delusions. And it was back when Bitcoin was going up. And so they come in and say, we got, you know, 50 or 500 investors that are putting in this crypto. And so what happened is you'd put it, you know, say 10 cents for a crypto coin, and people invest 5,000, 10,000, so forth in it. And all of a sudden, money start going to the roof. All of a sudden, it's $1 a coin. It's $1.50 a coin. Well, then you had the top of the main investors at the top. They were waiting for it to hit a certain point, and you do a rug pull. As soon as it started hitching a point, they pull all their money out of it, and they own most of the coins. And all of a sudden, it go back down to 2 cents a coin. And they walk off with tens of millions of dollars, to the point the FBI started getting involved, saying these are Ponzi schemes. They were modern-day Ponzi schemes. That's all they were after they got these cryptos listed. So be very cautious in stuff like that, because quite frankly, like I said, I mean, you'll see silver be pushing $50 an ounce by next year. Gold's going to be over 4,000 an ounce. You can already watch the markets and read it. I've seen the biggest thing about gold is it's not hard to watch the market on it, because it's been around for 2,000 years. It has continual growth. It always has. It always will. You'll see a drop. You'll see a pullback. You'll see a restructuring of it sometimes. But eventually, at every point, you've seen sustainable, steady growth in it. And at the end of the day, it's cold, hard metal that doesn't go anywhere. An ounce of silver is always an ounce of silver. It's always been an ounce of silver. It never changes from an ounce of silver. It's always there. And so, again.
Oh, real quick, though. A lot of these dealers now are charging $20 and $30 and $40 an ounce per premium on silver.
Yeah.
Don't let them do that to you.
Don't do that. No.
Because if you come back, what's it, $36 an ounce now?
Silver, when I checked, was at $41.
Okay, well, $41 an ounce, they're charging a $30 premium.
If you try to, $70 for an eagle.
No.
Don't pay
that. Because if you try to take that back to them, they're going to give you $41.
Right. Now, one thing you will see, though, what's going to happen is, and just be aware of this, because a lot of people don't understand this. If the market starts getting overridden with people putting in calls for physical silver, they start putting premiums on it because they can't get it at spot price. I watched this happen before. So it's at 41. You won't find an ounce of silver in the entire world for $41 an ounce, period. There'll be a premium on it somewhere. And so what happens is these guys have to put higher and higher premiums in order to obtain large amounts of silver because they can't get it for 41. They're getting it for 45. So they got to try to sell it for 50, 8, 9, $10 over spot. You'll get that, especially with silver eagles and stuff like that.
I just found some online for 47.89.
You're going to pay a premium.
You're going to pay
because they're from the Mets.
It's $3.99 over spot.
That's completely fair.
That's fair.
3, 4, 5 over spot on silver. That's normal, but you will see some guys try to gouge. That will happen when the market gets heavy on it. Just do your research and make sure you're getting these also from a reputable company. Sometimes you see these dealers on there, they'll be random fly-by-night, you know, on eBay. I'm selling eagles, and if it seems like it's some really good price and there's no background, you can't call anybody, be very cautious because fake ones do exist on the market.
Big time.
And the higher they get in price, the more demand they're going to be, the more there's going to be fakes that come on the market.
Absolutely true. And then, you know, it's crazy how many fakes are out there, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's
not worth it when it was cheap. When it was $12, $15 an ounce when I started.
I paid $3 for it.
Yeah, yeah. The fakes don't – it costs as much to make a fake eagle. It doesn't exist. Yeah. You start seeing it when silver starts hitting 50, 60 an ounce on the eagles. That's where you're going to see it start dipping off.
Oh, by the way, Japan confirms that COVID vaccines have triggered excess death explosion.
There you go.
Japan's leading experts are sounding the alarm after a major investigation into official government data reveals that the COVID vaccines have triggered ongoing tsunami of excess deaths. A group of top Japanese lawmakers, medical experts, and investigators have published an explosive government database covering millions of COVID-vaccinated citizens. The results are devastating. The data covers a staggering 18 million citizens, including vaccinated and unvaccinated people. The landmark analysis of the data by the team of experts confirms that every injection of the mRNA shot significantly increases the risk of death, even in young, healthy people.
Wow.
That means with all the boosters. Yeah. After reviewing the data, one of Japan's most highly respected professors issued a chilling warning. The more doses you get, the sooner you're going to die.
Ooh, that's a strong
statement. Remember, buddy, at the car dealership, he had like six of those things.
Yep.
Alarmingly, the data shows a death surge within 3 to 4 months of a person receiving an injection. In the unvaccinated group of citizens, there were no unusual changes in mortality rates compared to the pre-pandemic levels. The group has released the bombshell data to public while calling for people around the world to demand action. If the government won't do it, the people should investigate the mass deaths of Japanese people. Database 18 million vaccinated people revealed for the very, very first time. This is very, very significant. And, you know, when they come out and do that, it's crazy to me that people allow themselves to just continue to take more and more and more vaccines, Austin. It's crazy. Oh, by the way, Congress allows a closed-door testimony from a key Epstein witness, Alex Acosta. Closed door. No press. Everybody sworn to secrecy. In a congressional testimony last week, the FBI director, Kash Patel, described the then U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida, Alexander Acosta, as the perpetrator of the original sin. Is that interesting? Because, you know, they give him that sentence that was so easy.
Yeah.
And then now decades-long Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking blackmail cover-up, originated of the original sin. Now I know there's a lot of talk about Epstein, and I'm here to testify the original sin in the Epstein case was the way it was initially brought by Mr. Acosta back in 2006. The original case involved a very limited search warrant or set of search warrants and didn't take as much investigatory materials as it should have seized. I don't believe that. No. If I were the FBI director then, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
He's got jokes today.
Oh, my gosh. The search warrants were limited to small-time periods from 2002 to 2005. Small time, that's 3 years, and from 97 to 2001, Mr. Acosta allowed Epstein to enter in 2008 a plea and non-prosecution agreement, in which they actually let him out of court sometimes and out of the jail sometimes to go do his own thing. They actually let him leave.
It's funny how they treat him when they know that he has evidence and dirt that he's given to Mossad.
Listen,
these judges.
But they have protective orders legally prohibiting anyone from ever seeing the material again.
There you go.
Without the permission of the court. The non-prosecutorial agreements also bar future prosecutions for those involved at that time of all those individuals.
There you go.
Wow. Patel, incidentally, which he should not be allowed to forget, publicly pressured the FBI to release the Epstein files in 2023 when he was a podcaster chasing clout, has subsequently experienced an incredulous change of heart now that he actually has the power to do it. When Acosta was being vetted for Labor Secretary under Trump, a circus appointment in its own right, he explained the Sweetheart 2007 plea deal by claiming that he had been told Epstein belonged to intelligence.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Epstein belonged to intelligence and to leave it alone were his words. You know, the CIA, Mossad, that's an under-the-cover kind of deal. They're kind of sleeping in the same bed with them.
Well, it's funny when you have all these articles keep coming up. FBI chief's girlfriend sues podcaster for claiming she's an Israeli honeypot agent.
She looks like an Israeli honeypot agent.
She looks like a Mossad female agent. It's funny because this has come out now numerous, numerous times, including with documentation showing she's from Israel. And
remember that pastor in New York, not mentioning any names here, all of a sudden he meets this Israeli hot tattooed girl, which I don't really care for tattoos, but some people really like them, you know, on a park bench in New York City. And then he ends up basically starting to date her when he's married with kids. I'm not gonna mention his name. He was a big proponent of Justin Bieber. They're good friends. And all of a sudden they find out she is from Israel.
Yep.
And people have speculated, not me, but I don't really admit to it right now, but that she was an Israeli honeypot agent. And that he was converting too many Jews in New York City to Christianity and making a big stink about all that, and they had to stop him. Because he had a huge church in New York City. He was one of the pastors there. And suddenly he was gone. Just like that. Just with like it by that. An Israeli. Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine that. Oh, the kit that I was talking about earlier, I just found this. I pulled it up on here. I was talking about how the beta blockers are being used for stress. This is a much healthier option. I put this together like 3 years ago. This is the 5-HTP.
Oh, that's a good stack.
Ashwagandha, adrenal support, and cortisol buster. This is like the quadplex, the best stress relief kit we could put together. When we started designing these products by themselves years ago, we never really put them all together in a bundle until, like, I think 3 years back, as we found they all had a synergistic effect. The cortisol buster helps reduce cortisol levels. The adrenal support helps out with adrenal glands. Because remember, when your body starts getting extremely worn out from fight or flight or too much caffeine or stimulants or not enough sleep, the adrenals start going into what's called adrenal fatigue long term. And so what happens is you have a constant tired feeling. And then if you try to use even a natural stimulant like green tea, sometimes you don't get good results from it because your body's so worn out from lack of sleep and cortisol. Because remember, cortisol stimulates adrenaline. So this product supports that. The ashwagandha helps promote a calm, natural state. It also helps lowering cortisol and reduce anxiety. And the 5-HTP natural boosts serotonin levels and stabilizes mood, reducing anxiety, and improves emotional well-being. This is also a great stack if you're going to do basically a dopamine fast. That's where you pretty much stop going on the internet for most parts unless it's business. You start getting off social media. You start trying to naturally renew your dopamine receptors with healthy food, lots of exercise, good sunshine, and natural supplements.
And no internet.
No, yeah. And I get it. Sometimes you got work, you got business, you got school, but isolate it to that only and get off scrolling TikTok for 5 hours a day or whatever other a lot of these stupid sites people do all day and have nothing else to do with their time. Be sure to throw the stack in if you're going to do a dopamine fast. A lot of people have been doing that. It's become a popular thing because so many people are getting exhausted and they're getting down and they're getting worn out from just constantly stimulating all that very, very cheap dopamine online. This is a great way to kind of reset your body on that. Go on a 30-day detox from the internet. Throw some GHI cleanse in, start exercising, get back in shape, and I promise you, in most cases, your energy, your focus, and your mood will get significantly better, and that's why I put this together with
you. You know, I'm going to say something. I got a text in the other day, and someone said to me, they said, you know, how do you stay so positive?
You got to work on it.
Okay. And I said, I said, because I think that way.
Yeah.
You know, I don't let myself
control the mind.
Yeah, well, here's what they said. They said, well, I've been doing a lot of personal development stuff.
Yeah.
And she goes, and I began to realize that, you know, that's everything. Yeah. And I said, well, here's how it works. She goes, she was talking about becoming successful. And I said, here's how it works. I said, you have to start thinking like you're successful already.
That's a fact.
And then you become successful. Now, I just said a lot. Ask as if you've already received it and shall be given unto you, as the word says. Ask as if you've already received it. In other words, you thank God for what you already have, whether you've received it or not, because that's faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, God's not a vending machine. You got to remember that, too.
Yes.
And you got to remember that we're all sinners saved by faith through grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we got to remember something. You know, being negative doesn't help anything.
That's
self-deprecation doesn't help anything. If you're constantly putting yourself down, you're going to self-sabotage.
100%.
100% of the time. Don't put yourself down. Don't be saying negative things about yourself. If you catch a ball one time when you're at Little League play or whatever, you go, good catch, Ted. Say it to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, encourage yourself. Nobody else is going to encourage you. Say it to yourself. And build yourself up. And it's not because you want to become arrogant, because that certainly isn't a good thing to do. But the point is, you've got to learn not to self-deprecate and tear yourself down all the time. Because if you keep telling yourself that you're going to be a failure, guess what you're going to be? You're going to be a failure.
Somebody, the other day, I was at somebody's house, and they had a drink. They slid across a bottle of water, and it was sliding off. And it came off, and I reached out and I grabbed it real quick and put it back on. They said, you got fast reflexes. I said, I have cat-like reflexes. But you got to and the thing is, encourage yourself.
We said something positive about a cat.
Yeah, see, exactly.
Somebody sent me pictures of one of a cat stuck on a roof.
Oh, it shouldn't get stuck. It just jump off. It's got 9 lives.
And I just went, LOL.
They do anything. They got cat-like reflexes.
They're not stuck. They climb down.
They climb anything. Yeah, I've seen cats go up trees at the very top to try to get a squirrel and come right back down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but the thing about it is, and I get on to people I know sometimes, and I know a lot of people that have changed this as I've been around them, is you'll be like, hey, you want to go out and do this? Well, I can't. I'm broke right now.
Don't say
what?
That. Don't speak that over yourself.
Okay. I'm working on becoming more financially stable and independent. Got it. We'll pass on tonight then. When you start telling yourself over and over and over again how you're this and you're that, and I'm not even going to say the words because I don't speak them. You're this and you're that. All this is negative sabotage your brain.
Building a sarcophagus around yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing. You're building yourself. You're building your own coffin and you're putting the nails in yourself. how are you supposed to become successful or healthy or lose body fat or have better energy if all you do is tell yourself how negative it is all the time? How's this and this and this and this and this? Your brain goes, oh, okay. I like being fat. I like being out of shape. I like it. I tell myself I like it. I tell myself I'm this way, so I'm going to stay that way. Absolutely no bueno. Don't do it under any circumstances. Always try to speak positive over yourself.
I always eat super clean, and I'm always in great shape.
I always try to make sure I maintain discipline in the gym, and I get my exercises in, and I drink enough water.
I'm always at the right place at the right time every time, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My footsteps are ordered by the Lord.
I'm blessed and highly favored, my friends. So continue to think that way, speak it that way, and make it that way. You guys need anything, you need to get a hold of us. Check out the joint rebuilding if you need to keep those joints mobile and nice and feeling great in the gym. There's nothing like
health. Not like the 10 man.
Not like the 10 man that missed WD-40 lube day. So be sure, check him out, my friends. Appreciate y'all. Hey,
love you guys. Got to pray for you yesterday. Thank you for your prayers. We really appreciate them.
Yes, we need them.
And thank you for your support and getting your supplements from us. You mean the world to us. Love you guys.
Couldn't do it without y'all, my friends.